Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear sisters.
Alhamdulillah.
Let's get into the tea.
You already know the vibe. So you want to say that part? You want to know? You already know the
vibes.
There you go.
Come on, the vibes.
So today we have a special guest today on our channel. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. We have
Sihu Kamara
and Huraira. Yes, alhamdulillah. They are I wouldn't say newlywed couple, but you know, I think anything under 10 years, to be honest, is newlywed.
We newlyweds also.
Right, exactly, right. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. So tell us a bit about you guys. Where are you guys from? Where you were raised?
So my family is originally from Ghana. I was born here, but they took me back home to live with my grandma when I was 1 year old. And I haven't really been back.
Sorry, everyone, the audio was really bad here, so we couldn't hear Huraira, but she just explained when she was younger, she was in Ghana, and then she came in when she was 5 to take care of some passport situations, and then she had 4 other siblings here. She later would return back to Ghana because she didn't like it here, and she wasn't really, you know, familiarized with the rest of her siblings.
And with that being said, let's continue with the episode.
Wow, that's crazy how, like, you really grew up with your grandma, so you weren't really close with your siblings, which is, like, kind of, like, I don't know, like, that's not really the culture here. Like, if you have siblings here, you're super close with them. But alhamdulillah, I'm pretty sure now you guys are close, yeah, and stuff like that.
So with my sisters, they were also going back and forth. Like, they would come here, go to Ghana, but they never really stayed as, like those long years that I did. And with my younger sister, she was there when she came when she was 3. And my mom decided to leave her till she was like 5 years old. So then she came back. So that bond kind of like grew in that time span.
Okay. So do you feel like you're now close to your sibling?
I feel like I'm pretty close. I'm like their second mom. You know how the oldest daughter is. Mm-hmm. So like,
I know. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Now, Sihu, introduce yourself.
My name is Sihu Kamara. Mm-hmm. I'm from Gambia. I was born and raised here as well. Mm-hmm. And when I was 8 years old, my parents sent me and my older brother to Africa. You know, they told us we're going for vacation for 3 years. 3 years became 5.
Wait, they actually said 3 years though?
Yeah. Okay. And then we ended up in boarding school, but alhamdulillah, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was over there for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then we came back and we just, finished our Quran here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
All right, so let's dive into the love story. And so how you guys met. So as you guys probably heard already, Sihu is Gambian and Huraira is Ghanaian.
Yeah.
So before you guys even mentioned, did you guys have the intention of marrying outside of your culture?
For me, not really. But like the idea started springing in my head when I was in high school. This Fulani boy really, like, he asked me, like, would your parents allow you to marry somebody that's Fulani? Mm. To be honest, like, when I was growing up, we grew up around a lot of, like, Soninke Gambian people. Mm. So I assumed every West African Muslim person was just Soninke Gambian. So he said that. I was like, what's a Fulani? So I went home. And I told my dad, like, would you allow us to, because we used to sit and, like, after prayer to talk. So I asked him, like, would you allow me to marry or would you allow my sisters to marry a Fulani person? He was like, where is this coming from?
Oh, wow.
No, you know. And
wait, do you think it had only to do with Fulani or just outside of
I just Ghana? Think outside my culture. So yeah. Another thing that I mentioned, my parents are kind of an intercultural marriage as well. My dad's family is from Mali, he's Songhai, so like he's not even Hausa. And then my mom's family, they have traces back to Fulani, like Malian, but like generally my dad's family is actually from Mali and then they came to Ghana. So they were also an intercultural marriage. So his culture, they're very, very, like, strong in familial marriages. So I think they probably had already somebody lined up for me. So that's why he said no. Mm-hmm. I really don't know what the reason was, but he's like, we can't bring anybody outside.
But where is your mom from again?
they're just originally from Ghana. Like, okay, okay. Yeah.
Oh, so when people say you're like Ghanaian, you're actually both though.
Yeah, but I grew up in Ghana. I have never been to Mali, so I can't really say I'm from Mali.
Okay, so you didn't have the intention, but I feel like you tried to explore and your dad kind of shut it down.
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay. I started having those ideas, but
I mean, me personally, I didn't really have any of that in mind. Me, it was just whoever I can get or find, alhamdulillah, I'll go with that. You know, it was, I feel like it was more, you know, my parents, how they're going to feel about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, me personally, like, yeah, I never had like.
Yeah. Because you know the song, Subhanallah, they don't like, play that.
Now, I always heard, you know, Sunni kids are the most racist. Eh? They never going to let you marry outside of the culture.
At all.
Yeah, but, you know, I took the chance. Alhamdulillah.
So when you initially brought it up to your parents, for example, like, oh, I might marry outside of the culture. How did they take it?
Okay, so I didn't go straight to my parents.
Okay.
I didn't go straight to my parents.
Wait. Before we get there, I just wanted to ask, is this the first time that you, like, introduced this, you know, intercultural marriage? Like, did you ever try before?
No, this is the first time.
Okay, and before this, did they have other people lined up for you that are so engaged?
Not that I know of.
Okay, not that I know of. Okay.
But,
sorry, I'll answer that. Yes, they did. I'll tell you that right now, Mwaike, they had them lined up. You just didn't know. But brother, if you would have went to Gambia again, he was not coming out single-handed, Mwaike.
Yeah, but like, I don't, like, my parents never really spoke to me about like marriage or like, you know, my dad always used to tell me, you know, you guys haven't been in Gambia for what, 10 years, so y'all should go back, you know, even if it's just for 2 weeks.
That was the setup. I'm telling you, boy, it was trying to set you up.
I'm telling you, I feel like being a Sony kid, there's someone for you already. Yeah. Whether you know it or not, someone in Africa is thinking about you.
10 people. Not one. 10. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the year before we got married, my dad actually went to Africa, right? So apparently him and my mom, they were talking around that time. So he went to Africa. You know, he was there. He met one of my cousins. Then he sent me a picture and a voice note like, oh, me and your mom was talking about her, you know, I was telling your mom I just want to come and see who she is before I give her, you know, a final answer. And she was like, I mean, and he was like, for me to, you know, think about it, talk to her. But at that time I already met her and we were talking.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I went straight to my brother. I didn't even go straight to my parents. I went to my brother and I was like, yo, I have someone in mind, but you know, I don't know how to approach my dad about it, if he can approach my dad.
I think that was very smart of you to do.
Yeah.
Especially that intercultural things are like foreign to Swanike culture. Mm-hmm. It was good that you didn't go directly.
Yeah. So my brother got in touch with him, but my dad never spoke to me about it, you know. Mm. Yeah. So
he never brought it up?
He never brought it up. Wow. My brother told me he spoke to him and that was it. He never brought it up.
So during that time, were you thinking like, oh my gosh.
During that time, I was like, I'm just pushing for this. Like, we're going to make this one happen.
But you weren't nervous how your dad would react?
I mean, I was nervous because, you know, the whole thing of sonning kids are, they don't like all of that.
I'm pretty sure you heard other people's stories, no?
Yeah. Oh, of course. I heard a lot of stories. So, yeah, I mean, I was nervous, but at the end of the day, you leave it in Allah's hands, you know, make your du'as and all that. So it was this one time where my family, we had like this family meeting. Mm. And that was one of the topics, like, you know, you guys are at the age of marriage. You guys should go back home. And I told my dad over there, like, straight up, like, yo, I understand you want me to go to Africa. You got someone over there, but I already found someone here. You know,
in the family meeting.
Yeah, I told him, like, you know, I already found someone, but you see, I have my brother to back me up.
Okay.
Yeah, so my brother, you know, he jumped in, like, you know, they did do it the right way. He found someone. He reached out to us. We reached out to Ustad. You know, so you know, there's really like, nothing, there's no reason for you not to allow it to happen. You know, and alhamdulillah, my dad was understanding.
Wow.
My mom, she's with everything.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
my mom was with it 100%. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much how, you know, it all started, you know, alhamdulillah.
So that was kind of like his point of view, right, from like, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. The issue actually wasn't like the Sonike part, to be honest. Wow. Like, it was my family.
And a lot of the time it is the Sonike part.
Yeah, so like this one's kind of like twisted. Mm. Because like I told you guys, my dad's culture, they're already like into interracial family. So similar to Sonique culture, they'll probably have somebody lined up for you, like, right. at birth. So mm-hmm. that was kind of my situation. Mm-hmm. And I shut it down. Like, they already introduced me. It was my cousin in high school. Mm-hmm. I said no. Wow. So that became a whole thing, like, for a whole year.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
But you and your cousin were around the same age, or?
No, he was, like, 12 years older than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
And I just wasn't, like.
Mentally there.
Yeah,
know?
Like, I'm just, like, I have APs to follow. Like, right. you know, I was just coming out of high school. So it was kind of something that was on my mind. Mm. So. That happened, and then, like, I remember there was this one conversation I had with my mom. She was like, okay, since you're gonna reject whoever we bring, whoever you bring, I feel like at that time she kind of knew I was exploring outside of the mm-hmm. culture, because mm-hmm. I was going to Masjid Siddiq. There are a lot of people from different cultures, not right. just one background,
right?
So obviously, you know, you're gonna see different people and interact with them. So she was like, then whoever you bring too, the same thing, mm-hmm. like the way I reacted, because they felt like I didn't give the person a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I felt like low-key I didn't, but it wasn't in my heart. Like, at that time, I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to give someone a chance always, you know? It's just, if I don't feel like he's for me, period. Like, it is what it is.
Plus, he was like my cousin, like my brother. Like, I was like, we look alike. Yeah. Like, ew, no.
Wait, you actually knew this cousin?
Yeah, like, I grew up knowing him as, like, a big brother, but then he came to this country, and I didn't know him after that. Okay. But, like, okay. I don't like that.
Yeah.
It was just like a no for me. Mm-hmm. But 2020, I guess, me and him, Siwu, we decided that it was time for us, like, this is, like, we're talking for the intent of marriage, so let's introduce it to our families. Mm-hmm. I didn't know my family was about to, like, go crazy. Like, mm-hmm. oh, my God. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I thought it would be smoothly, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but my mom, the first time I brought it up to her, she's like, okay, she'll talk to my grandma. Because, again, I grew up with my grandma, so everything that has to do with me, my grandma. If I get in trouble, my grandma. So, like, she said she'll bring it up to my grandma, and she'll see what my grandma says about her introducing it to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And this grandma is your mom's mom?
My mom's mom, yeah. My maternal grandma. So, this was towards the end of 2020,
mm-hmm.
and 2021 came.
Mm-hmm.
So, the beginning of 2021, my dad fell sick, and then, like, he passed away in February.
Oh, another grandma.
So, I mean. So, I guess in that time, it didn't really make sense for me to keep bringing, like, our situation up, because my mom was kind of indifferent about it. Like, she didn't really want anything to talk about with that.
Mm-hmm.
And she also claims that my dad also said no while he was, you know, sick. So, like, for her, it was a hard thing for her to, like, go through. And I also mm-hmm. spoke to Ustaz, and he said to, like, leave it for now and see what the future holds.
Right.
So at that time, I was obviously in distress. There's, like, two big things in my mind. You know, my dad just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom also told me to kind of make a promise to her. So she said, I can't speak to Siwu.
Oh, my God.
For nothing. He was my teacher, too.
Damn.
So, like, he said, I cannot interact with him, speak to him. Damn. And to make that promise for her, for this, like, you know, for the whole situation going on. Because it's like.
Wait, was this promise, like, forever or just for, like, this time period in your life?
She didn't say this time. She just said, like, to just make a promise that I'm not going to interact with him in a way.
Do you have a question?
Yeah. So, Sue, hearing all of this. Damn. All right, hearing all of this. Wait, what was going on in your head?
I mean, because
you know she's going through all of this. So now what's going through your head?
Wait, the question is, at this time, did you hear the promise that she had to make? Okay.
No, I'm talking about before that.
Okay.
It was a lot.
Okay, so obviously she was going through all of that.
Yeah.
But, like, I wasn't really aware of.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Wait, you weren't aware that her father passed away?
No, all of that. Like, I was aware of that.
Oh, but you didn't know what her family had.
Exactly. Yeah, what was going on in the family at the time.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So. Okay. I mean, she didn't really tell me about it, so.
Smart.
I would open up. I'm
not gonna lie. You have bad memory. Look, he does. I'm not gonna call you.
She probably did tell him.
I did tell him. Like, you know, girls were kind of.
Sorry,
no, not the promise part, because that was kind of deep, but, like, for him to know that my family wasn't accepting it, I did tell him.
That one I knew.
He knew about that.
I'm talking about that part.
Oh, okay.
The non-accepting.
Okay.
What was going on in your head?
All right. So, I'm not going to lie. At that time, you know, I saw that they were not accepting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that she was, like, pushing it. She kept pushing. And, you know, it was just like a battle, just a fight just going on.
Mm.
Between them.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to a realization, like, one time, just like I told him, like, yo, I'm not gonna lie, like, if I'm not gonna be accepted, I don't want to go into a family that is not gonna accept me. You know, so I was at a point where I was gonna give up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, and then I saw one time, like, how, like, not even like I saw how she was like determined. Right. She was fighting like, yo, anyone they brought to her, she's like, no, I don't want them. I want Seal. So I'm like, you know, if she's going to do that, then I'm going to do what I have to do. You know, I can't give up. She's fighting, so I got to do my part too.
Nah, if you would have gave up, trust me.
Okay, so let's go back to this promise that you made to him. Did you go through with the promise?
I actually did. So it wasn't like I wouldn't talk to him in terms of like how we're gonna figure out about our marriage situation, but it was just like maybe for reading. But that would be like when we were at the masjid, like I had to read. But like that lasted, I would say, so this was February, April, May, March, April, May, June. So like June,
because
that
year you didn't tell him about the
Like, okay, so I was given advice by Ustaz, like, if anything is said, like, you know, to make the other person not feel welcome. Obviously, I told him some parts already, but I'm not going to tell him the parts where he's like, all right, cancel it. Like, I don't want it, like, to make them feel bad. Because, inshallah, like, let's say this gets accepted. Like, you don't want them to feel unwelcomed or, like, you know.
This is very good advice from Ustaz.
Yeah, so there are some things I kept from him and other things, like, surface level. I'll just be like, okay, I'll just tell you because I'm being emotional. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So June, we went to Ghana, my siblings and I.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, let's go back a little bit. So, you didn't technically tell him about the promise, but Cyril, did you feel the distance?
Yeah.
I mean, not really, because, I mean, she still comes to the masjid. You know, we see each other. Yeah. We do talk here and there, because, you know, I was her ustad. I was teaching her at the time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, I mean,
Let's go back to Hudayda. Hudayda, so I understood that you guys talked in the masjid, but some part of that, like, how do I say this? Some part, like, the extra talking went away, right?
Yeah, like, we didn't, like, it felt like there was some, like, not disconnect, but, like,
obviously you felt that.
And you saw that. But maybe, still, you know, boys don't really.
I was about to say, you don't really look at it like that.
They don't really
keep. Yeah.
Like, to be honest, they don't really, like, notice all that extra stuff going on.
A little,
on, like,
you know, you're losing your wife and you don't even know.
I stole the vibe.
He just with the vibe.
Don't worry, Sue. It happens to all of us, boy. Good. All
right, let's resume. So you said you guys went to Ghana in June.
Yeah. So at that time too, weirdly enough, my mom had somebody again.
They always have it ready.
When you went to Ghana.
Yeah. Yeah, so
we thought they had it lined up for you, Sue. I think we got the situation confused.
Yeah, man. They had them lined up for you.
So they had they actually had two people, but one person was like. One person was the person that, like, my mom was, like, actually pushing for me to get married. He was also my cousin, but, like, a little bit more distant. Like, okay, I'll give him a chance. So, at that time, again, I kind of not put him on the side, but, like, I was trying to, like, respect my mom's, you know, wishes. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I was actually talking to the guy, and she was happy. You know, she looked a little bit more, like, you know, because she's going through some stuff. So, I was like, okay, I'll just do this to make her happy.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if I didn't go to Ghana or, like, speak to my grandma, there was, like, a talk that I had with my grandma, I don't think... Not that we would have happened, you know, that's in Allah's hands. But, like, I would have actually, like, you know, went through with the other guy.
Wow.
Yeah. But we went to Ghana, and my grandma, I brought it up to my grandma again. Because, again, she was, like, my
closest.
Your
mother, right?
Yeah, she was, like, my closest person. So I talked to her about it in the conversation that we were having. And she was just stuck on, like, why am I stuck on this one person? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, like, I mean, I told Siu and my sister.
That's a light zero way.
That's
what? A zero effect. You get what I mean? Gambian zero. Allahu
Akbar. Yeah, so I told him, and like, I think, I don't know when I told him, if it was after we got married, but like, some part of his character kind of reminded me of my father, like the good stuff of my, like, you know, my dad, like his character and stuff. Mm. Even my siblings, they saw it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, you know, sometimes you want some parts of your parents' marriage.
Definitely.
Yeah. Especially how you're, you know, so. I saw that in Seoul, and I told exactly, like, I said it to my grandma. I never said it to anybody, but I just said it to my grandma just like that. Mm. And I was very emotional, and, you know, she was like, okay, so just give my mom some time to get over it, because
she's
right
also,
now,
like, freshly going through her, losing, like, her life partner, you know?
Yeah, so I just felt like I wasn't being fair. I guess I'm realizing it now. Like, I could have just, you know, chilled out a little bit every single week. So what do you think about, you know, us, you know, what do you think? Not even, I mean, like, every single week is crazy, but, like, I would bring it up so often. I'm just like, she's going through, like, she's grieving. So yeah. I'm also supposed to be grieving, but I'm over here also trying to put my life together for the next chapter.
Trying to figure out your
future. Honestly, like, now that I'm married and I went through a little bit of time, I would say I would have probably did the same thing you would have done if I wasn't married. I was still trying to be putting in her head, but like, now that you have a husband, right? Imagine losing that husband.
Yeah.
Maybe for a whole year, you're not ready to talk about anything new. And sometimes we don't give like the grace of that to other people and like, those family members. Not saying it's your fault, but now that we married and stuff, we definitely understand.
Yeah,
that. You know, imagine like she's thinking, "Oh my gosh, what am I gonna do now?" Alhamdulillah, she probably was okay, but it's like it's a different type of feeling when you lose someone that close to you.
Yeah, like I was saying, like when you get married, you finally see what your parents like. You know, like you see that they're actually more than just mother and father. It's like they're actually parents. Right. So it's like they're actually partners. Mm-hmm. So you know,
like they actually love each other more.
Yeah, like they're like us.
Oh my gosh.
So it was kind of like, so I realized some of the things. Like, it's just like, I feel like you get closer to your parents after you get married because you get to understand them. There's like this parallel relationship where you're like, we're the same. Like, they're probably in our boats being little, you know, marriage life, you know, all that stuff. So, after we came back from Ghana, I kind of slowly started introducing you back. I'm not gonna lie. Okay. Like, the other guy,
so the promise is kind of breaking down.
Yeah. Like, to be honest, you know, seeking forgiveness and all that stuff, because that was kind of an oath that I made to my mom. I don't know if I went about the right way of seeking, you know.
I wonder if this is actually like a
I'm not a scholar. No. Before the world hears this, but honest to God, I feel like, because they always set in when it comes to marriage and these things, like when the parent is doing all that, let me be quiet before I say something that's wrong. I don't want to misguide anybody.
I think what we're trying to say is like, look at it from my perspective. This is your husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like they were trying to keep you away from your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, either way, say if you didn't talk to him, I already wrote this will be your husband, right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Like it, me.
Maybe. Husband. I don't know.
She
maybe.
Had no choice.
What we're trying to get is like, damn, did you really break the oath?
Yeah, that's the part that, you know, I actually didn't think about that till like when he told us about coming. I'm like, oh my God, I think I did. Like, how am I supposed to rectify that? Like, obviously, I saw forgiveness.
Right.
Because during that time, there's this estranged relationship with your, like, with my mom. Like, I had that relationship because, like, you don't want to give me what I want. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just very, it was a very, like, rocky time. Yeah. So, you know, obviously, I saw, like, forgiveness for that. But, like, for the oath part, I'm just kind of like, I think I need to ask.
We were girls.
It's okay.
Just being a girl.
No, just fast 3 days. It's okay. I love a figure, right? If you swear,
I think
you fast 3 days, it's come. Alhamdulillah. Just fast 3 days, you good. Don't worry.
Allah forgive us all.
But to be honest, during this time, again, like, I feel like the story kind of is like more on my part, but till like it gets to actually when he introduces it to his family, and then we get, because this whole time, like, he kind of said that he's going to take a hold on telling his act, like pushing it for his family till stuff is like settled with me, because he doesn't want to like introduce it to his parents. And
your mom is not even okay with it.
Yeah. So then it might become a problem with like the families too, not just us.
Okay. Yeah, so I have another question. Sorry, Seal. We won't get into you. Don't worry. We ain't here. My question for you is, since your dad passed away, did you have like another male figure, like your uncle or something, to, you know?
Yeah, this gets into how we got married in Ghana. So my wali is actually in Ghana, so
which is your dad's,
my dad's
brother, right?
Stepbrother, his older brother. So
okay.
So that was what I like,
but like, you know, your mom wasn't okay with, did you ever talk to hurt him?
But how do I say this? I'm not really close to my dad's family like that.
Yeah.
So, and that didn't even come to my mind, to be honest. Like, the only two people I was talking to aside from my mom was my ustaz and my grandma.
Imagine like you did go talk to your uncle and then he reached out to your mom and then your mom said she's not with it. Would he have had your side?
I don't think so.
Right.
Because again, it's their family that's very in with the inter-family. Exactly.
He probably,
you know,
wants you to marry somebody.
Like, he already, you know, and to be honest, like, I'll get into that too. Like,
we got a lot to talk about, guys.
Yeah,
we should have 2 episodes. It's about 10 episodes out here.
Okay, I'm sorry, I keep going back, but we skipped a crucial part. Before all this went down, how did you, who was interested in who first?
Oh yeah,
damn, we really went fire.
I mean, they started with the T. Basics.
I mean, from everything you've heard, you could probably tell.
It was her. I can tell.
Okay.
100%.
But wait. Were you interested in him when he was your teacher or even before that?
This is so embarrassing.
Tell them. Come on, let's go. Hey, my boy, show them.
Let them know.
So when we first, so I wasn't at Major Sadiq till like 2017. Mm. I remember when we first came for actual class. Mm-hmm. Sihu had a class, and you know he was teaching his mm-hmm. students, and like it was in a like, how do I say this like in English? Not melodious tone, but like he was teaching his kids. I don't know if you want to give them like.
It's the voice.
Yeah. So like.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
So okay. That kind of caught my attention. So I'm like, who's this dark-skinned person, you know, singing? And he looked very like...
Don't worry.
He looked like he was way. Like able to handle his kids.
Yeah,
like
voice effect. The voice effect.
So it looked like with his, like, he had a very good relationship with his class. And they were little kids. So I'm like, oh my God, this man would be a good, like, this a good boy, father, man. Right? Yeah, a good father, you know, yeah. A good person. So I didn't really know him like that. So, like, later on, like, you know when you, like, see people's behaviors and stuff, like characters just come out. So he's in the masjid like 24/7. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, you're gonna see it. Mm-hmm. So that kind of like went over, like me seeing him
over
like,
the years,
you know. Okay. And then I finally got his number, and then I asked, you know, for marriage. So I kind of initiated very fast, like even before we kind of like got, like I barely knew the guy like that. Like,
bro, I love it. This is
that's how you did it, correct?
Yeah,
women shooting their shot Islamically though.
Mm. Yeah.
Islamically, didn't Khadija radiallahu anha show her shot, right? Exactly. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
If you're interested in someone, grab them before somebody else grabbed them, right? That's mm-hmm. how I
mean. Yeah, so, but I don't know how, I don't think it was mutual at the time. That was kind of, you know?
Hey, it was mutual. My boy was just shy.
Oh, no, I feel like maybe Sio wasn't his boy era.
My boy, no. My boy was shy. It's a shy boy thing, okay, you know.
Tell us, so how did you feel?
I mean,
my boy shy.
At that time, like, I wasn't really thinking of marriage.
That's what I think.
So it's like, I was still in high school. I wasn't thinking about marriage. So, and it was kind of like off guard.
We were thinking about Quran.
And then, like, we even joked about it not too long ago. It's like, I remember she brought that up that early. Mm-hmm. And then look what Allah did.
Wow.
Look where we're at today, you know. Yeah, but yeah, at that time, marriage was not on my mind at all.
But that's why I think women like mature faster, you know?
I don't even think marriage was on my mind either. Mm. I was just like, yeah, you gotta be my husband. Like, that was on my mind. So I'm like, yeah. So, that's so bad, but.
You seen the great characteristics in the man. You're like, yeah, this is a man that I don't want to miss out on. Alhamdulillah.
So this is 2017.
Yeah.
Okay, so now when do you see become open to the idea? Okay, I could actually marry Hureira.
2020.
Yeah. 2020 around that time.
Was that process like quick or something?
Like the process of us like coming together.
So you guys knew each other for a couple of years, right? So you weren't open at first, but when you became open and when you guys, you know, started the process of telling our parents, was that a quick process?
No, that's the whole thing I just explained. That was 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Of y'all trying to get your parents on board? Oh my God.
And to be honest, I've heard people trying to encourage me throughout the process because it was kind of known.
That is hard, 2 years?
So people have been through 5 years, so I just like, alhamdulillah, you know. And it wasn't like a full 2 years, like end of 2020, going into 2022.
Anything over a year is a lot for me. But alhamdulillah, Allah gave you guys that patience, you know? Right? Because we kind of have some difficulties.
You would have gave up on me like that?
2 years? I don't know.
That's what I want. You would have gave up on me?
I don't know. Because then I'm going to start thinking like, maybe. Let me tell you. Maybe I would have started thinking like, maybe this isn't for me. You know, like, I don't know. Especially if your parents, like, they don't be with it. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, you know, Qadr of Allah. Maybe this is Allah telling me that this person is not for me.
Yeah.
I would have thought that. Or maybe Allah would have gave me patience to continue going. I don't know. But what I was saying was that we kind of had some like discord, but I was only lasted 6 months.
Oh wow!
Right.
They seen the yaga man.
No, it's not even that. Like again, my parents had people lined up for me, and then we're not from the same village.
Oh. So my dad was
that's
the problem.
Like,
what village are you from?
I'm from stubby.
Which village am I from?
From Gumby Side. Anyway.
No, say the thing.
Come on.
Say the riddle, sweetheart. No,
we're from Gumby Side. Okugiri Gumby Side. We gave birth to the Gambia. You know the vibes.
Anyways.
Wait, so what village you from?
I'm from Sabi, bro.
What?
Yeah. What? Y'all okay? Sabi village, Allah.
They come for you, bro.
But my parents, my dad wanted me to marry his dad's kid, his brother's kids.
Wow. Same here.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm okay, brother. And, you know, they kept showing me multiple people. But the thing with me is I didn't want to marry anybody back home. And that was just my choice for, like, other options, right? Other decisions, stuff like that. Mm. But alhamdulillah, it only took 6 months. And I don't think that's long compared to what you guys went through, compared to what other people go through.
Let's not get it wrong. They had him lined up for me too. So, you know. Yeah, man. Just, you could continue. Yeah.
Do you really want me to go into this?
No. Never mind.
We can already say the truth. No.
What?
We can say
I'll
the truth.
I'll show you the between me and Grandpa.
I ain't saying you don't got people. But Grandpa, we can say the truth, my brother.
She knows the vibes.
Okay. Anyways, back to the story. Alhamdulillah. So, now we got where you guys finally met. Mm-hmm. So now it's kind of like, okay, it took 2 years for this to be finalized. Okay, now, Hureira, when does your mom start to accept this?
So, going back to the oath, so she brought it up. So there was this one day, like casually, like mind you, I haven't brought this up to my mom again after that oath time. Like, obviously, I brought it up, like, it just kind of stopped, it kind of went away. Mm-hmm. So I remember this vividly. She was vacuuming, I was sitting in the living room, and she was just vacuuming, and she stopped. So she's like, you're never going to get married. And I'm like, I mean, if you're going to allow me to marry the person I want. And she stopped. What do you mean with the person you want? And then I was like, Siu, like the guy, like you guys never want to get to know him. Wow. Yada, yada. She was like, you still talking to him? So then that went into a whole, like, that was a whole thing in itself. Like, mm-hmm. She was super upset. She even made a promise to herself, like, sometimes my sisters were little spies. They would record those conversations because my mom will speak in another language from Ghana, and only I understand that. So
tweet?
It's called Gang. Yeah. So it was like she was speaking that, and then they'll send it to me. But sometimes it'll put me in distress because I don't want to hear that, to be honest. Right. You know,
but it's good for you to see what your mom's thinking.
So at that point, I remember she was saying like, if she finds out I'm still talking to the guy, she's basically gonna disown me. So it got to that, and I was like, what the hell? So I kind of went to Ustaz, explained everything to him again. But I had meetings with Ustaz lined up like almost every month of the year now, from like 2021 to 2022. So then I guess she realized how persistent I was. Like, I keep bringing it up. Like, nothing's going to stop this. So
she probably thought you forgot about it. I feel like in her head at that moment, she erased it all out of mind.
Yeah, basically.
Once she told you stop talking, that was it for her.
Yeah. So
sorry, you know what it was? You just had to play his voice to your mother.
Right. That's what you had to do.
You know what's so crazy? From at my dad's janiza, he read.
Wow.
And then the masjid came to visit my mom. Mm-hmm. He was there, he made dua, and he read.
Did she know this?
She did not know.
Oh, wow.
Literally. He came to our house and everything. All my aunts were sitting there. The aunts that would be involved in our marriage process, they were all sitting there and they saw him.
Maybe if she knew that was him, she would have.
Imagine, it was only three brothers that came from the masjid and like the sisters at the masjid.
But so the fact that she didn't know this is the person that you want to get married, maybe she knew she would have been more open. He made the whole trip to come to your house, you know?
Yeah. So I guess now this is the end of 2021. Mm-hmm. I brought it up. So then 2022 starts, and my dad has like a close friend here, it's like our uncle, so that's the one that was kind of my assistant wali before everything actually went through. So then she finally told him, he like, there was this one conversation I had with him, and he tried to explain it from my mom's point of view, and like, oh, you know, Africans, every time you disagree with them is disrespect, so you're disrespecting your mom, you need to apologize. And then I had a disagreement with him, and then I had to go back to apologize to him because I disrespected him. Like, it was too much.
Right. When you're just trying to get them to understand.
Yeah, so he was just trying to say, like, so my mom, again, she grew up with a lot of Soninke women. She sews, so a lot of them come to her. And then she hears a lot of stories. Not saying this is for everybody, but a lot of the moms, you know,
it's toxic, I'm not gonna
lie. Yes. So I guess, again,
we know. Oh, people. Like, sorry, people.
Thinking back, she was just trying to protect me, and she was trying to make sure that I was going into a good house.
Yeah.
So I guess in a way, I should have gave her that, you know,
but that you point didn't as well. That.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get married. I'm, you know, I'm just trying to get my point across. Mm-hmm. So he told me all of that, like, you know, all these stereotypes that every African person has about every other African tribe,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He was telling me, and I'm like, oh wow, their family is different, you don't even know them. And I told him, you're stereotyping them. And I kept, you know, everything he said, I kind of had an answer for it. And to be honest, right. Sometimes I could have just listened and then later on brought my point, but I just didn't want to. Like, you're telling me wrong facts, and you know, I just think it's not fair to them. So I told him, and then I guess he went and he spoke to Ustaz. Again, this also took another, this took like 6 months. This was like the final stretch. Yeah. So like, it took some time. Their family finally got involved, which is like after the meeting that he just talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wait, what meeting?
Remember the meeting? Family meeting on his side?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remind the people, son, because.
It's the family meeting that they had after they prayed? No, that's you.
That's me.
The meeting where I told my dad.
I'm choosing my wife, gang.
Yeah, but yeah, basically, you know, my dad already, he just came back from Africa. He had someone over there for me that he wanted me to get in touch with, get to know her. And I told him, like, you know, I already have someone here. If I didn't have anyone here, then I'll go back home. But now that I have someone here, it doesn't make sense for me to go back home.
Sorry, Sue, one question.
No.
Did they not go to Suleiman?
I think I have him here to talk about that.
No, because you know how some Africans are. When the younger one goes, sometimes they be like, you know, you just wait, and they don't bother the younger one.
But I think that meeting was like a general thing for all of you.
Yeah,
it wasn't just targeting him. He just spoke up about his thing.
Okay,
because at that time I have found someone. Sule didn't.
Yeah, okay.
Even after I got married, my dad was pressuring him.
Uh-huh, I know.
To this day, my dad's still pressuring him.
You know, he's my birthday twin, you right?
Know? Oh, what?
Well, we don't celebrate birthdays on this side, but
we don't celebrate birthdays. So we were born in the same day, the same month. Not the same year. He was born in
96,
right?
Usule?
Yeah.
Yeah, 96.
Yeah, he was 1 year after me. But same, I'm one year old.
Okay, so... No, I have a question for you.
Oh, for me?
So, Seo... Now this is the final stretch. Are you emotionally tired, or how do you feel? You're just like, you know, it is what it is.
At this point, I'm just happy for it to happen, you know? Because alhamdulillah, now...
No, we didn't get there yet.
He got too excited.
We had the meeting that you had with Ustaz.
My boy was going flying with
honestly,
it.
Honestly, like, me and Ustaz really didn't sit that much, you know? It was really hurt. Everything was hurt. She always sitting with Ustaz having a meeting. Me, like, Ustaz would come and talk to me, you know.
Be patient.
Yeah, basically, like, he would just give me advice, you know, just be patient, you know.
You know.
Yeah, but there was not, like, me and Ustaz really didn't talk much.
Okay.
Yeah, like, the only thing I really needed from Ustaz was to, like.
Give you the go.
Literally. And, like, talk to her family about me.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
So, who did Ustaz also got in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that your family?
No.
Okay. Were you emotionally tired at this stage?
Kind of. I was like, bro, if this doesn't happen, I feel like if that didn't happen that year, I was just kind of like, you know, unless it's done. But my uncle tried. He would talk to Ustaz. They also had their meetings. My grandma from Ghana was calling, like, bro, they tired the man out. I guess it was only because, you know, when you're getting married, they have to do like the background check. And he was our only kind of point person.
Yeah.
He understood our language, and then he's known his fam for like 10 years. So he was like a good resource.
I think that's a good point person, especially someone that's really known in the community. Like, who else are you going to trust?
Yeah. And I mean, he's seen him outside the masjid, because again, not everybody's character is really shown in the masjid, you know, maybe outside. Like, they just trust him. So I told my mom, like, if you want to know anything about his family, go to Ustaz. So she sent my uncle. They had multiple meetings. And again, it was like nothing was going through. Nothing was going through. And then Ramadan came. I felt like it was easier for his parents to kind of like, not accept it, but like just be okay with it as long as my family's okay with it, because they knew me.
Right.
Sorry. Because a lot of the time in our community, the boys, they don't give us a hard time. It's the sisters that they like, nah, because y'all going away to another family. Whereas in the boys, it's bringing someone in. Okay, you can continue.
Yeah, I think that's also another part. Like, it was a little bit easier because, again, it's a boy. You're bringing somebody in our family, you know. We're taking somebody else's daughter. You know, we're not giving away. So that was one. And two, again, they kind of knew me. So I felt like, in a way, there was a good rapport between his family or his mom, I would say, and I. Mm-hmm. And you know that's his mom, so you're gonna have that little, aww, you know that little meme, like, you know, yeah, that little "Assalamu alaikum" extra. I kind of had that, like, that wasn't the intention, but like, mm-hmm, you know, it just kind of happened to be like that.
Right.
So when they found out it was me, I think it was easier for them to accept it.
Okay.
So this part, he went to Umrah, like in Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Umrah, and I was like, that's the dua. That's it.
Yeah. I was about to say that. Roda. He stood at that Roda. They could look at it and see what. They said, Sibu, come on. No, please. I got to get this dua answered.
Oh my God.
So yeah, like, he went to Umrah, and literally after he came back, I think he came back in April.
April, yeah.
Yeah, so he can't.
We went in April, came back in May.
Mm-hmm. Whatever month they came back, totally, everything just kind of went like this.
Wow.
Literally.
Rauda and Duange.
Wait, seriously, did you make that dua at the Rauda?
Of course he did.
I mean, how you ever... I know.
I mean, I actually made the dua for the Kaaba.
For the Kaaba?
I forgot about the Kaaba now. But 2022 Ramadan, me and my sister went. So...
And it was in Ramadan, right, the holy month.
Right. Hey, you know that was answered. So my sister was planning that trip, but you know how they like you. She can't, as a right, sister, she can't travel by herself. She needs a mahram.
Right.
So she chose me to go with her,
mm-hmm,
and I didn't think anything of it. I thought she was just joking.
Mm-hmm.
But when the time actually came, she was serious. But alhamdulillah, at that time, I had money, so I was like, "Let's go."
Okay.
You know, so we went. You know, we spent a month out there. Alhamdulillah.
Wow, whole month.
Yeah. So,
no,
wow.
Damn,
so we did 20 days there actually. Then we went to Italy for the rest.
No, 20 days.
Because her husband was also in Italy.
Oh,
so, yeah.
20 days, babe, of making the same duane. Yeah. You don't think that was going to get accepted in Ramadan?
There was no offense.
Her mom didn't even have a chance right then and there. It was already done deal. Once he went and he said, Allah, Ramadan, come here. I got you.
All right. But yeah, alhamdulillah, we went there. You know, obviously I was making dua, but yeah, that was like one of the biggest duas I was making, you know. Because, you know, obviously it was a time where alhamdulillah they're starting to accept it, you know. My family was with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, at this point all we need to do is make dua.
Yeah.
You know, and that was my chance. So
So what was the first step for your family to accept the Hudaydah?
So again, several meetings with ustaz, and ustaz kind of said something. I'll disclose it to you guys later. I don't want to, you know, say it. But like, you know, he said something to my uncle that made him like, oh my God. So like, you know, this is like the person. Like, it's okay for my mom to actually accept it. They're good people. He's a good person. You know, just give it a chance.
Right.
So after that, I remember my mom. My mom came to me, and like, not that she called me over, but she was like, you know, so like, this boy, you really want to marry him, like, to make sure, like, you know. She's like, okay, I guess we'll like get to know the family and stuff.
Right.
I went to my bed giggling. She's like, I mean, I have a big mouth, like, I love telling stories, so I was ready to tell myself, like, you know. And she was like, but don't think this is the final step, there's more to come, you know. Mm. So I was like, okay. She's no like problem. It's not finalized. I was like, no worries, as long as you're willing to get to know the person.
Wow.
That's all I needed. Right. That's literally all I needed. Because now, if you give it a chance and you don't want it, then I actually have to step back. And one thing that Ustaz told me while doing all of this was, like, to make my istikhara, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when we made that prayer, he told me, like, don't set my heart on it too much.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of already did, but, like, he was kind of, like kind of relax it a little bit, let it go, you know, because if I say by force, Allah may have other plans. So, I just have to let it go and let Allah's plan play out the way it's supposed to. So, I just kind of let go a little bit, and then it actually happened, and it happened so fast, because May, I think the end of May, or like June, his family came over, like the engagement process already started.
Wow.
Like,
sorry, I want to ask you the dates, because you know all of the dates. Silva,
do you know any dates, man?
Date,
let us know before we ask
Nika
you.
Was
I'm sorry, I should
July 13th.
Oh, you know the date?
July 13th. Just the nikah,
okay. July 13th.
But he doesn't. And I was high, like, yeah, what is going on?
But I don't think he knows, like, those. I don't think
don't
like
dates either. I don't know dates. I don't know why I even did that because now I'm about to get the same question. Babe, do you know the dates? Nah, I don't know the dates.
You know, not it's not significant to men, but it's not something that they pay attention to. I pay attention to everything.
Do you know the dates?
Not the dates, but I know the months. Like I,
you know the months.
Yeah. So like after he came back, I remember this because again, it kind of everything kind of happens on like a day. So this was the day my brother graduated from middle school. So like when we went back home, my mom was telling me like, you know, the family's coming over. I remember all of this because my uncles have to come. Like again, my dad.
Okay, before we come into that, Cyril, tell us the preparation. So you know, getting your fam to come to her house.
I don't think I remember.
Wait, did you go?
Nah.
Okay.
So I can't be there.
Yeah.
So the way it was for me, actually,
he's remembering. Don't worry. Half is in your knee. He's a half.
So you see, right now it's two cultures coming together, right? Mm-hmm. So they have their culture. They have their own ways of doing things. Wow. So the way their culture is, I have to go myself and ask her hand.
Oh, really?
So I have to. So at that time, like the time where I had to go meet her parents. Mm-hmm. Her aunt was here. So I can't meet her mom directly.
Wow. That's a coach. Wow.
Yeah. So I can't meet her mom directly. So I had to go and meet her aunt.
But is that before our culture, like your people go? Or
yeah, that was before our people go.
Oh.
So I went and I met her aunt. Her aunt was asking, you know, like, so, you know,
who are you?
Who are you? You know, tell me about yourself. What do you do? You know, and I always just took it back to masjid, you know.
You smart guy.
He saved himself every time.
He said Allah, and they said yes, correct.
You know, so
I'm sorry to cut you off, Seal.
No.
So okay, so you met with the aunt. Was it in Hureira's house or her house?
In Hureira's house.
But her mom wasn't there.
Her mom was there.
Oh, her mom was there.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about this. But that's my mom's sister. She came from Ghana. She was visiting.
Oh, not for this. She just came.
She was just visiting.
Wow.
So it was like,
she just happened to be here.
Yeah. So that was somebody that was like also get to know her to inform my mom. Okay, this is how he is. Mm-hmm. So they asked like simple questions. What are your intentions? How do you plan to make my daughter survive in the next few years when you're with her? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So like just things like that. Job. Just getting to know him. So you know. I don't know how you felt.
Oh no, I was nervous.
My boy was like, this is the biggest job interview I've ever gotten in my life. I'm gonna make sure I ace this test.
But yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, I spoke to her, tell her, you know, what my intentions were. Mm. Obviously she asked me like what my plans were, you know, do you have a job? Are you looking for an apartment? Yeah. At that time, alhamdulillah, we were looking for all of that, you know.
Mm.
But yeah, so basically I was telling her like I want to do the nikah now so that, you know, there's no haram, there's none of that, you know.
Right.
So we want to do the nikah and then wait maybe a year because she was also in school at the time, you know. So we wanted to wait a year when she graduates and then we could, you know, move on and do the rest of the things.
Okay, Hureira, in your culture, it's kind of, so say if your dad was here, right? Would he have been meeting with you?
I'm not going to lie. I don't know much about my culture. Again, it's two different cultures, so I don't really know what. I'm pretty sure they're following like this, the way Hausa people do it, or the way it happened for my mom, my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he would have met, but as this is going, I'm also learning. So I didn't even know. I remember my mom wasn't like speaking to him, or like she greeted him salam, and then she kind of went to the bedroom.
Okay.
And I was kind of upset. I was like, oh, she don't want to get to know him. Again, I'm in this like, you know. So I asked Ustaz again because he knows the culture, and I asked. He's like, oh no, she wasn't supposed to like directly meet him at that time.
So is your aunt the one that gives like the yes, he's a good person?
I guess to her,
They trust her opinion in that matter.
So overall, Cyril, that meeting was a 10 out of 10 or what?
I mean,
he got her.
How are you feeling when you left?
No, like at that time, I didn't really know whether, you know, it was going to happen or not. So like, I remember when she was asking me some of the questions, I was like, you know, if it happens, and she's like, oh no, it's going to happen.
Mm.
So I got that, you know, so I left there happy, you know.
He got that.
I was like, alhamdulillah.
That's the courage he needed to hear.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Oh yeah?
Thank you very much. But yeah, alhamdulillah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I left there happy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then now it's time for your people to come.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know how long it was until they came, but...
Is it your dad or like your uncle?
So it was my dad, my brothers, and then my dad brought some people from the masjid, like the Hausa people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for translation. Oh. He had a friend actually who speaks Hausa. He's mm-hmm. Sonike, but he speaks Hausa. Mm-hmm. Oh. So he brought him too.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess I don't know what happened when they met because I wasn't there.
Were
yeah.
you there?
I was there.
Oh, Hunter, tell us what happened.
He was happy the whole time. I bet you that was.
Yeah.
It's going through.
At this time, I think it was only supposed to be the dads happening, but again, my dad wasn't there. So mm-hmm. it was my uncle. So I had my two uncles and then my mom's. It was my two uncles and then my mom's uncle. So we call him my grandpa. Mm-hmm. So it was only three of them. And then, so it's supposed to just men. This meeting is supposed to be just the men talking, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you're coming to seek my daughter's hand, what mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff. So they brought men and then his mom also came. So,
really?
Yeah. But I think she just came as a formality to just greet my mom and get to know her. Mm-hmm. But that kind of threw off like some of the things because that's not how it usually goes with our culture. And so it was just a meeting. And I remember like his mom was sitting there. Again, me and my sisters knew her. So we greeted her like, hi, auntie. And then my mom just went away. But my grandpa told her like, just come because they don't really know. Yeah. So, you know, you just come as a formality to just have some like, you know, just casual meeting and also be mutual in the agreements and stuff. So she was there and we were in the bedroom. Like, I couldn't be seen, but I had to come out later to greet his mom. Mm. And that was it. So they spoke. I didn't really hear much of the meeting. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's when they talk about, like, how things are going to proceed from then. Mm-hmm. And then also with, like, the mahar and stuff. So in my culture, the mahar is discussed between us. And then you just give it to
me. I love that.
Wait. Go back. What?
So, like, the mahar is given between me. Like, me and him decide what the price is.
What?
Later on, like, you know, like, our mom, like, my mom or, like, you know, anybody could advise you, give this amount. You tell this amount. But at the end of the day, that money goes straight to you. So, you get to decide what you want to do with it. And that's just, like, I know you guys.
That's how it's supposed to be.
We're going to do that, Coach Paul.
Yeah, we already said we're taking out that Sonika tradition. Yeah, the Sonika tradition is, first of all, my dad's older brother is the one that sent my meth. I didn't see the money. But I know the money went to like my clothes and stuff like that that I wore for the wedding. But it's like, I didn't even have a say in what I wanted and stuff like that.
Because after the marriage is discussed, I know you guys have like the luggage as well, suitcase.
Yeah, yeah.
We have that too. So that stuff is supposed to be stuff that you would use sometimes for your wedding, like the wedding clothes. And then
does that come after the same day?
No, that comes when you're officially, like, I think, going to your husband's house.
Okay.
So they have some time to settle that. Mm-hmm. But like the marriage was supposed to be discussed. So I think, I don't know how his family told him, but my mom told me, like, discuss what this one. Mm-hmm. So I did. And like they understood, like, he's in school or like, you know, he's also a student. Mm-hmm. You know, he's young. So just be reasonable.
Right.
I'm not sure.
He gave you a headache, huh?
Sure. I'm
going to hit you with $10,000.
Did your Sonic family agree to this? Is this the mahar should be done?
So like, even with this whole, like the whole preparation, my side of family didn't mind whether they follow the Sonika culture or they follow their culture.
That's nice. Yeah. I like how your family.
Yeah. So, like, my dad actually was the one who came and told me, like, this is what their culture do when it comes to the maha. So it's between you and Hureira. Whatever you guys discuss is between ya. Whatever amount she wants, you know, is between you guys.
Wow.
This is so beautiful. I love about it.
Do you think it was reasonable?
Wait, hold on. Before we get there, who shot the first shot for the mahar? Like, did you say, okay, this is what I want, and then you disagree or agree, or did you say, okay, this is I have?
Wait, it's a discussion.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a discussion.
You discussed the price.
Yeah,
that's it. Babe.
Okay, but how did that go? Because this is our first time hearing someone actually do this in real life.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure she was the one who just. Okay. She so told me her price.
Can I say something to you? Yeah. I just think. Again, I'm the oldest daughter. I have this kind of, I don't know if you're the same way. I just want things my way sometimes. Like, not my way, but like in my head, it kind of has to go as I planned.
Girl, hello. We're on the same boat.
Okay. So I just, you know,
it's called first daughter syndrome.
By force.
Not that you're in control, but like.
By force.
You know, you got to organize it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just life is off its equilibrium if it doesn't go that way.
Basically.
That's how it is, yeah.
It's a what?
And it goes easier if, you know, so that's why I kind of felt like I was like.
Okay, so you threw the first shot. You said what you wanted. Did CEO agree?
Yeah. Off right off back? Okay.
My boy said, there ain't no need for no decision. I got you.
My mom was actually shocked. She was like, you sure you don't want to know? I'm like, I mean, you already put it in my head. So, like she kind of encouraged me what price to give because mm-hmm. she thought I was probably going to give a crazy price or mm-hmm. maybe lower than she would want because, mm-hmm. like, I'm not sure if this is what other people do in our culture, but, like, my mom, she encouraged me to use my marriage to, like, invest in gold. Mm-hmm. And what gold is going to be, like, you know? Mm-hmm. So she told me to put a good price where I could buy something small for myself to, like, you know, mm-hmm. have as an investment in our marriage. So that's how it started. So
did you only ask for money or did you ask for other things?
To be honest, I don't know why I didn't, like, now thinking back on it, I'm like, I wish. I had some conditions.
She told me she would have said Hajj.
Of course I would have said Hajj.
I said, girl, Hajj?
I probably would have never.
I was like $15,000, bro.
I mean, but it's not like right now, though.
Yeah.
Within our marriage, you need to give me this.
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't have to pay right then?
No.
Hey! Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Bro. I wish I had put some like conditions down at least. Right, something man.
Too late. That's why when you said the price. That's why when she said the price.
She said, yeah, hell take it.
I got you right now. Before you add on. Yeah, I'm not going to go. Because once y'all started negotiating,
a rebuttal, right?
He knew it was going to add up. So he said, yo, let me just.
I mean, I gave him a different price point, and then I told him the final one that I was like supposed to go with, and he agreed. So I was like, "Oh, really?" I was like, "Yeah." And she was smiling a little bit. I'm like, "Okay, yeah, this is him." Like, you know,
yeah, that's
like,
my man.
So hold on, during this time, you didn't ask your friends like, "Guys, what should I ask for?" You
didn't say. No, I just thought this was like private to me.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think I told my sisters, but I told my sister everything. So
yeah.
That's your twin.
So you accepted the dowry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in this time. I think after his parents came, I think there had to be one more meeting for us to be considered engaged in my culture. Because, mm-hmm. Again, the nikah is not done. I know, like, in your guys' culture, the nikah is the
once they accept, both families accept.
Yeah, okay. So then, I mean, that's considered a nikah, I think. I don't know if that's...
That's the goro kambi. That's how I was.
Like, right? The goro is exchange.
Yeah, do goro too?
Mm-hmm. Bro, don't ask.
Yeah, we have some similarities.
Kolonat.
Goro.
It's called kolonat.
We call it goro too. Like goro, yeah.
But for like the people that don't know what we're talking about, it's called kolonat.
Kolonat, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were speaking a different language.
No, I'm saying English.
Well, I thought she said kolonat. I said, what is a kolonat? Kolonat?
Okay, so.
There we go.
Okay, so now is the time you guys have to meet again. And they have to bring another goro?
No, so the second time that they... Okay, so the first time they actually come, it's not goro. It's called the kudingaiswa. So it's like the money to come when you're greeting.
Oh
yeah, because you know we take our money too.
Really?
Yeah. When you're coming to greet,
you give out
so
money.
That money in my culture is used to inform people that there's somebody seeking out the daughter and it's gonna happen.
But what do they do?
So like when they give the money back home, when they give like the money or like the kuringa, so like the money that they come to greet you,
mm-hmm.
they give to important family members to alert them that your daughter is about to get married. So for me, they gave the money back to my father's people just to like split mm-hmm. half of the money. The other half was used here to give to like my aunt and my uncles.
Like they actually give them money?
The money that his family brought,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's what they give them.
Do you know what we do? I know what we do, but I'm trusting you.
Nah, I don't know.
We buy candy and goro and they put in Ziploc bags. Oh, you talking
about like the menti fresi?
Yeah. They buy like, what is it,
mint? Freshen up your breath. Or black.
Yeah, they would throw like, they would throw like $5 in a bag and then give it to people and be like, yeah, they gave my daughter away.
Yeah, like that.
Okay.
Yeah, we do candy too, but like, because we are abroad, they just send the money to them. But like, people here, they give money. And again, my mom knew a lot of Soninke people.
Mm.
Like, one of her closest friends is literally Soninke. And then we came to find out, his aunt was babysitting my sister, like when she was younger, like, my mom was very close to like have
his family.
Yeah, so
she didn't even know.
She
didn't know that it was her his family.
I mean, to be honest, during your dad's janaza, she didn't even know it was him. So.
Yeah. So so they did all of that, and then the second, like, I think the third time they came, I think Sule and your brother came alone. I think it was to give the money, or I think it was to give. I don't know. It was to give the money, but the money does not go directly to me. It goes through this long train process, and I'm just like, bro.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, can you just give me my money?
I thought this was like a Zelle type of transaction.
No, not Zelle. It had to come in cash. And then it comes, again, this is what my family did. I don't know if anybody that's listening is like, you know, how some like, no, this is not how we did it. This is how my family did it. Again, it's an intercultural marriage. They did a lot of things. They omitted a lot of things to make it easier on his family.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a lot of things that made like, oh, this is strange for his family. But it was like,
it was like a balance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think his brother brought the cash. Like, they brought the money. Okay. And the money, my mom was like, she has to take it back home. So they had decided, like,
what? They had to take your dowry back home?
Because I'm getting married back home. The nikah is being back home. So,
what they needed, like, proof that you got your dowry?
I guess, like, again.
Wait. They were sending this joint around?
Yeah.
That's what it really comes back to you.
So, basically, I got my dowry in Ghana. Like, it was in my hand when I was in Ghana. Yeah.
Oh, you was in Ghana at the time?
No, I'm saying, like, when I finally got the money, I was in Ghana.
Wait, okay.
Oh, wait,
okay.
Hold on.
No, wait. Let me just say this. So, how you know nobody took a little something out of that dog?
Okay, my mom had it. So again, we're here, right? Oh. And then everything is like finally going through. Mm-hmm. Like my parents, his family agrees, my family agrees. Now they're thinking about, okay, how are we going to do this marriage? At that time, they're like, see who, which is weird. Mm-hmm. It was like 1 month's notice telling the guy, pack your stuff up and go to Ghana because that's where we're doing the nikah. And it's like,
wow.
So that was another process. Again.
Hold on. You skipping steps, Sura. Hold on.
We don't have to get...
Hold on, stop. So, like, let me ask a question. So, when your brothers bought the dowry, were you in America at that time, Hodera?
Yeah, we were all here.
Okay, and then you suddenly went back to Ghana? Yeah.
We went to Ghana for the marriage. Like,
oh, so you guys actually did your nikah in Ghana?
Yeah.
2022.
You were there?
No.
I was about to say,
again, that's what I'm saying. Ghana? That's another process, like...
Oh, okay, go.
He wasn't there, but I don't know how it came. Did I tell you that you had to come to Ghana, right? I think I told you.
I don't remember.
It's okay. We the same.
But I mean,
we don't remember anything.
I don't think I really had to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when they were doing my brother's nikah, mm-hmm. his wife was in Gambia. He was mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. but none of them were at the masjid.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, our nikah happened in Gambia. Nobody was there.
You see? Yeah. So, the way they did with us, we had someone. Our family member that was already
all the way to Ghana.
Yeah, but I think he was like around, like he was there already. Like my uncle knew someone over there, mm-hmm. so he just went on our behalf. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then her and her family just ended up going. Okay. And
y'all went specifically Hureira for the nikah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Okay, it's only because So again, money. I feel like this is not me.
You got money,
my parents.
Right? He said, we're going to get this ready, and then I'm going to come back again. Yeah.
All right. Whatchamacallit? So, again, husband and wife. My mom, I think they planned. My dad had built a house back home, mm-hmm. and he was like, all of his kids are, they're doing their marriage in this house. Oh, like, you know. So, mm-hmm. I guess, again, I feel like this was kind of in the midst of my mom just trying to, like, you know, still remember my dad. Mm. So, she was like, it's happening in Ghana, no questions asked. Mm. Then the question came about, see who coming to Ghana. And I'm like, he has to get a visa. This is all short notice because June, you guys want to do it in July after Eid. So it was kind of like a lot going on. And even me, I didn't know the date yet. I'm just going to Ghana for about like 2-3 weeks and I'm coming back.
Right.
So I don't know what exact date was. So I don't know if it was happened before Eid or after Eid. Mm. So my mom had to do all of that and talk to my uncles and decide. And she let me know like a few days after. Okay. I mean, before that, this is the date. No, not the Ghana part.
Oh, the airport when you gonna go to Ghana?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. No, when the nikah was happening
in Ghana. Yeah. Okay, so Siro, it was something mentioned that you thought you had to go at one point.
I mean, I don't think I don't think I had to go because now I've seen it happen before where. Yeah. Like with my brother, like I said before, he wasn't there. So I'm like, I don't think I have to be there either because it's just a nikah.
Yeah.
You know, if I have someone there on my behalf, then
it's the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure like my family told me about it. Like, you know, you don't have to physically be there as long as someone is there on your behalf. Okay. So, yeah.
So then now we at the nikah. I want to know how was the nikah in Ghana?
Mm. So again, they do it with the witnesses, the ustad. I wasn't there too.
Oh, you wasn't there either.
So initially, like, I feel like the way my mom kind of went about the nikah, she kind of still had those feelings of, this is not really what I want, but I'm just going to make it happen for the sake of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, you could feel energy sometimes. Mm. So I felt that. So I didn't want to do anything. I just want to be in my grandma's house, just sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
You tied a marriage, tell me I'm married, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know what happened. But literally, the 2 days before, she's like, you got to dress up. Your grandmas are coming. you have to do this. And I'm like, I did not want this. You didn't tell me I had to do this. You just told me the nikah was being done. Mm-hmm. So it happened in like my dad's house. Like, I'll show you guys the video. Mm-hmm. So it happened in my dad's house. They did it. I sent it to him. They sent it to everybody. Right. I think they sent it to your parents. Yeah, I sent it to you. Sent it to your parents. Sent it to ustaz. They made their duas. And I guess at that point, we were married. And
wow. Alhamdulillah.
It was, that was a tough two years, right?
Even coming to this nikah part, it was kind of hard because I didn't really tell a lot of people. And, you know, not everybody needs to know, but sometimes people feel offended. Yeah. And it wasn't on my behalf. Like, I was going through all of this. Mm-hmm. And you forget to tell a lot of people. Like,
yeah,
a lot of people knew it was happening, but not when. And I barely knew when it was happening. Like, mm-hmm. I found out a few days before it happened. But, you know, alhamdulillah, it happened. Guys, pray your tahajjud. Tahajjud? Oh. I was praying tahajjud, like,
nah, stop.
I needed something in this. I mean, I did, but, like.
Right. Alhamdulillah. Wow, this is such an interesting story. So, after this point, you guys are married, and a lot of people say that a lot of blessings come after marriage and stuff like that. Did you personally witness any blessings?
You talking about when they got the nikah happened or when they get to marriage?
The nikah. That's the marriage, no?
Okay, you know how our culture is on the nikah, okay. Go don't come in, and then later on, like I said, a year.
Okay, so the way it is with that, so it's like the nikah is basically like tying the knot. You know, now marriage. Islamically, that's your spouse.
But that's what I'm talking about. Islamically, that's what it is. But we just moved into.
You see, that's the same thing. Yeah. So it's like the time of the not happened. The walima is now the celebration.
Yeah,
you know, now you're celebrating.
That's what I'm talking about.
But to be honest, when it comes to Islamic culture, we put culture aside.
A lot of people here they use the walima as like the wedding and all of that.
Is that the right thing though?
No, but that's why when he hit us with the three, when he said the 2022, I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm looking at all that, like 2022. All right, got you though.
In our culture too, the way my wedding or my marriage came about, it's not usually how it's done.
Because
usually when you're trying to get married or like you're about to get married, everything is set. You have to have your apartment. The man has to be set and ready. Then they finally let their daughter go. So everything kind of happens, boom, boom, boom. Oh. The nikah happens in the masjid. The walima, everything is done in one week.
Right, back to back.
Yeah, but for me, it took like 2 years or like a year.
Well,
yeah.
To be honest with you, that's how it is for us.
Yeah, we had 2 years.
Like, in general, like the Sonia culture, like you find your wife, you tell them, and then they tie the knot. But then the man has to get prepared. He has to get an apartment, save a little bit more money, right? This is where we buy gold, buy the clothes that we need. And that takes time and money and stuff.
It does.
So it doesn't happen, boom, boom, boom. But for our future kids, inshallah, I would like for it to happen, like how you guys were, boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. No.
Yes.
No, boom.
But I think that makes it easier for the male. Like, you know, better. Yeah, when you delay it, it's not good.
I mean, you gotta. All right, so.
Like, what I'm saying is, don't find a wife if you don't got the money.
All right. One.
Nah, we're not doing that. Nah.
I mean, what?
Not even the money. Yeah, like, you have some type of stability before you get into
an apartment.
I'm not saying be like Bill Gates or be rich.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You have to be able to take care of me.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And I think the reason why we, Sony Gets, take so long for the wedding is because we want this grand, big wedding that is unnecessary.
It's not even that.
What?
I'm just saying, it's not like I said, the iman part. I was like, half of my iman. I ain't had no money before we got married. So that's why I'm like, you can't say that.
But that's what I'm saying. So maybe what I'm really trying to say right now, like, how do I say this? Like, okay, our son Muhammad, right? He finds a wife.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he wants to be his wife. Then even before that, he should have been preparing to, you know, marry this woman. If he comes to his parents the week of, I want this wife, be ready the next week to go and marry her and put her in your house.
Because you got to look at it like this. Sorry. I know. Now we go back.
It's okay, bro. Let's go.
You got to look at it like this. Mm-hmm. Bring the mic closer, sweetheart. You got to look at it like this. Because sometimes you meet a person, right?
Mm.
And you just, it's like y'all connect quickly, like out of nowhere, y'all connect. You can't tell me, and I'm not ready. I was not in my, like sometimes you find someone, and it's like, damn, now this person is great. I don't want to miss out on this person.
Mm-hmm.
So let me try to do that approach of marriage before I lose this person. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not ready because I wasn't thinking about marriage. You know what I'm saying? So you can't.
What I'm saying, babe, is as a man.
So for Muhammad,
you know you're going to get married. Prepare yourself before you get to that stage, right?
Yeah.
Right?
And save up for it.
Right. If you know you want to get married young at 18, right? Start working, start saving your money. I'm not gonna lie, baby. I feel like the way our Sonin Gay men were raised is that you know, you have a job, but you're not really saving. You're just enjoying life until you find a wife, and then you want to start saving. That's too light.
We don't enjoy life.
It's not even about like enjoying like partying and stuff.
We send
like,
the money to Africa.
That's the problem. I mean, you're not considering your future goals. Okay, yeah, you know, right. That's what I think. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, me, I tell my friends a lot, like if like because I've seen this from my like from my own experience. Mm-hmm. When I got married, I didn't have much. Mm-hmm. You know, it took us a while to find an apartment. You know. After all of that was done, alhamdulillah, we did our walima, we moved in together. Mm-hmm. So, like, after all of that, like, some of my friends who are now interested in getting married, I tell them, like, even before, like, they brought up marriage, mm-hmm. I would tell them, I'm like, yo, if you guys are planning on getting married in the next year or 2 years, start looking for your apartment now, because it's going to take time.
Right.
We live in New York, it's not easy to get an apartment here, mm-hmm. especially in one that you can afford. Mm-hmm. Right now, one bedrooms are what, like 1.5 and up.
Yep.
Even 1.5 is 1.5. that's right. Yeah.
1.8.
Now you see. So like I advise them, and I'm like, yo, if you trying to get married in the next year or two, stack up your bread, look for an apartment, and all of that. Because when the time comes, mm-hmm. and you have all of that, that's gonna be like a burden off your chest, right. or off your shoulders.
Instead,
you know?
You're trying to save up for a year, and then trying to get an apartment within the same year. That's time consuming. Yeah, and if it's not for tax refund, like where are we gonna be, right?
Yeah, tax refund be hitting. I ain't gonna lie.
But I do agree. Like mm-hmm. once you have the mindset that okay, maybe I want to get married, mm-hmm. and you're looking for somebody, not just that you found that person. I think it's advisable to start saving, because mm-hmm. the process of marriage alone is gonna cost you, and then yes. after marriage too. Like the first few months of marriage is kind mm-hmm. of like costly. Furnishing mm-hmm. your apartment, finding the apartment, paying everything. There's like mm-hmm. a lot that goes into mm-hmm. it that we all have to consider. So yeah, mm-hmm. I do agree. Like, before you actually start the process of getting married, make sure that you have something mm-hmm. to, like, not a lot, like something that could like set you for the next like at least 5 months. That's mm-hmm. what my mom was trying to advise us on. Mm-hmm. But we're both students. It's you know, tough. It's hard. Yeah. But alhamdulillah, like my family, like our family supported us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and like, because then groceries too, like, you know. Everything is like, child, you have to account for it. And like one thing my mom did tell us, mm-hmm. and I think we should have listened, was, although we didn't have an apartment, start buying your stuff like and storing it. Yeah. Mm. So like the bed, the couch, like just start like saving up the money to store it, not just saving up for the apartment in itself. Because mm-hmm. then when that comes, boom, 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 you kind of have to furnish your apartment. Yeah. Where you gonna sleep? You know, all that stuff you have to consider. So, mm-hmm.
well, alhamdulillah, it's so true, and I feel like that's why for our wickets, it's important for us to save for them. So when they do find that wife, at least they have something in their pockets, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah, even if it's like maybe some advice for you guys have kids in the future, even if it's $20 a week, $20 from when they're born to the time they get married is going to be so much. And that'll help them. Like, I wish that our parents did that. You know, they try their best. They're the first people from their families to come to America. Yep. But you know, for us, we have a little bit more knowledge, and we'll probably have better jobs than they have, right? Even if it's 20, that just take that out for your child, and it will definitely make a big difference.
Yeah. I think low-key, like, the moms kind of prepare more than, like, because, like, my mom, like, she was already packing. She had my suitcase packed. Like, mm-hmm. like she packed, like, the you guys call it? Waxy and, like, the burrito. You know, she already had that packed. That was mm-hmm. even before I brought up, like, me getting married. Like, she already had that packed. Mm-hmm. And she was also buying gold and stuff. Like, she was already saving. Mm-hmm. So, I think the moms kind of mentally prepare. Maybe it's because they're dreaming of their kids to get married. Yeah. But I think that's...
And I think in general, women, no offense to you guys, I think women do a better job of thinking ahead.
Thinking ahead and what?
The preparedness.
Ahead of anything.
Yeah. The situation, you're going to, but not everything.
Lord.
We're gonna make sure we get that on the major things. But we also think on... You know, I'm saying on other things, but
alhamdulillah, we're happy that you guys finally got married. Any last remarks for this episode? So
for what you said about the blessings, mm-hmm. I think alhamdulillah, we had some blessings. You know, mm-hmm. for example, I was just the example of like the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
We struggled,
mm-hmm.
like subhanAllah, we struggled so badly. Mm-hmm. Like it got to the point where my mom was ready to kick me out. Because, again, he promised all these promises. He told my aunt, like, you know, when she graduates. Like, I graduate 2023.
Mm-hmm.
He told her he'll have me out. So
right then,
2023 came, and I'm still my mom's son. My mom, you know, then it's also people back home. Oh, if she's they're married and he's in the same city as her. Why can't she move in? And that's my dad's family. Like, they were already pressuring. But alhamdulillah, like, you know.
Hold on. So before this episode is out, there's an episode before this where we discuss the promises men make before they get their wife. Oh, so, Siro, if you could go back in time, what would you have actually said?
Exactly what you then said, brother.
But this is the problem, right? He said, made a promise, and then his family
that
said,
was the goal. It was the GK.
Yeah. Right, but so, let's see what Siro would say.
Okay, so, like, yeah, like, that was my goal to, in 1 year, I feel like 1 year was enough time for me to, you know, prepare, you know? But, you know, we plan and Allah plans. Allah is the best of planners.
Wait, hold on. When you was saying this goal to her family, did you say Allah is the best of plans? Or are you like, reassure them that this is what I'm going to do?
I definitely said, inshallah.
Don't do my man like that. Don't do my brother like that, bro.
But I mean, you know.
Oh, no. What I'm trying to say is, did you say, I'm going to try my best?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because I was working at the time, too. So, you know, I felt like if I, from that time to 1 year after, I'll probably have enough money saved up. You know, maybe I would have had an apartment, but that was before I knew how hard it was to find an apartment.
How the market is,
right? Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, if I was to go back, I don't think I would have gave them, like, a specific timeline.
I like that answer.
Yeah.
That answer shows growth. So, what would you have said, though?
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe you don't. I just would have told them to give me time, because, you know.
That's the best answer.
Yeah. Yes. Just give me time, you know.
And by saying that, nobody can fault you.
No, exactly. But you know the thing is, when you say, oh, just give me time, they're going to say, how much time? Automatically, you're going to have to say an amount, at least.
No, you don't. You could say, I'm going to get back to you. Right?
Yeah, but your husband didn't say, you know how some Africans are, they'll be like, que más seriosi, que? But when he hit them with a time, they're like, okay, he really, you know what I'm saying, is pushing for something. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has a vision.
But I still think if he would have let Wiff just give me time, they in their heads would have been like, but he did say give me time. And he, even though he said maybe a year, he did say give me time.
Yeah.
Okay, you got a good,
because you know, like she was saying earlier, their culture is you get married, nikah's done, walima gotta get done, she gotta go.
Yeah, so like, different.
Yeah, like it even came to a time where we were looking for apartments and it took that long. She had to come and move in with us, me and my parents, for a little while. But alhamdulillah, like, it was like, well, how many months? Probably like 3 months.
Wow.
A month or two. Okay, September, Then we got the apartment, and November we moved in, alhamdulillah.
Wow.
That's another, like, segment.
Yeah. But, like, that just shows, like, that's how the culture is. They want the girl to andaga. That's it.
Right. And, it's strange that I'm like, why is she still here?
Literally.
And that we don't do that.
See people back home.
The moment they found out I was still there, it doesn't make sense. He's not abroad. He's not somewhere else. They're literally in the same. We're both in the Bronx. Like, you know what's up?
They don't understand.
It's always the people back home that got something to say.
And you know what's so crazy? Before all of this, my parents, my grandma all emphasized, she is not moving in with nobody. Like, you know, like, I'm not to be living with his family.
Wow.
But, like, for it to get to the point where I had to actually do it is when it shows that, like, you know, we actually were, like, there's nothing else. You
know? Right.
And we did give them a year. Like, my mom literally waited till the year came. And she's like, okay, so what's up?
After the year?
Yeah.
Immediately.
He started for the fire.
The fire don't come out, my
room.
That was, like, kind of another thing. Like, that's another leg of our journey.
Wow.
So,
alhamdulillah.
We'll come back later.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Wow. Any final remarks, babe?
No, they're going to definitely come back. What?
Inshallah, inshallah.
Well, I'm looking at it like, damn, this is a lot. I learned a lot.
I definitely did learn a lot.
That negotiation price.
I love that.
That joint is in my head right now. Like, babe, how much would you? Oh, you said Makkah.
I would have said Hajj, but I definitely would have said other things. Like, I definitely wanted money. But it's like, it's not money. Like, this dunya is so, like, to think that, like, what, honestly, what did my dowry benefit me in them making clothes? Those clothes are sitting there. I didn't go to Hitch. Right? Like, I don't know. It's, I feel like materialistic stuff.
You're going to go, though.
Inshallah. But I feel like a lot of time the dowry is materialistic stuff. I mean, yeah, it's a gift. It's probably not supposed to be that. Some people don't even ask for anything in general. But
that's the best.
I wanted to ask for something that would benefit me, you know? Something I could look back to. But
like an investment.
What
would have benefited you?
What?
Staying free.
I mean, to be honest, I didn't have a choice. So.
I'm not talking about this.
What they say?
The best of marriages are the least.
Yeah, literally
the most blessed marriages.
Yeah, like there's some people who their mahado dowries literally teach me Quran.
There you go.
Literally, like just teach me the Quran.
And what's better than that?
Yeah. I mean, hey, that ain't me though. But
everybody got their own, you know.
Yeah, everybody got their own. It's okay for the woman to ask for something.
They want 10 sheep, 5 camels.
Yeah.
You know,
5 camels. Behind it, right.
You got others who are 500,000.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We're gonna have to look another direction. Yeah. Half a meal. Something I never even thought of.
But I love how Islam gives the woman the choice to ask for a gift, you know? Mm. I even have like sometimes non-Muslims, they talk to me about listening to the podcast and they are always amazed about like that Islam has dowry and stuff like that. And they always want to know more things. I'm like, yeah, y'all should implement that too. Or maybe I should just be Muslim. How about that, right?
Yeah, sure, you know the vibe.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Right. Alhamdulillah. But anyway, this is the end of our episode with Siro and Hureyda. And there might be a part two. There might not be a part two.
Oh, there is definitely going to be a part two. I don't know if I'm going to have to go to your house. But it's definitely, inshallah, going to be a part two. I already know. Just by how this episode, people are going to be requesting again.
Right, right. May Allah bless your marriage. Ameen. Put barakah into it. Ameen. Grant you guys righteous offsprings. Ameen. Keep shaitan away from the marriage.
Before we end it, give your advice.
Oh, yes. So people who want to do intercultural
marriage, you know, because this is a different perspective. This is a whole new world to a lot.
Get ready. You're going to say your own advice, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
what's up? Party out of your mind. Yeah. Uh-huh.
For me, I would say to be patient, one, not even with the process, but with your parents. Because remember, this is something new to them. So if you can, like, try your best, like, in the most respectful way. Because I know sometimes our emotions get in the way and we could sometimes disrespect them in the process without knowing. Just try to understand like how I came to the realization. Sometimes it's just for our protection.
Right, right.
Because they've heard stories. They've like, you know, they've experienced life. Although that experience can't always account to what we're going to experience. Like, you know, just keep that in mind as well. Like, you know, your parents are just trying to look out for you. But, and also remember Allah in the process. Like actually have tawakkul. Like actually trust that, you know, whatever Allah has for you is the best. Like, not just what you want, but whatever Allah has. So, if what you want is what Allah decrees is the best for you, then just believe in that. Like that, whatever Allah makes happen,
whatever happens, and that's that.
So, I think that's one thing that made it a little bit easier. You know.
Yes.
She got good vocabulary. I'm not gonna lie.
One advice I have for anyone that's looking to marry outside of their culture.
Especially the Sarangule brothers.
Yeah, especially the Sarangule ones.
The boys, they go.
Like, I know me, I almost gave up. Don't be like me. You know, don't give up. Push for it. You know, because look, if it's something that you want, you pushing for it, make your du'as, and leave the rest in Allah's hands. It's going to happen, inshallah. If it's the right one for you, it's going to happen. All right? I know of cases where people gave up already. You know, because some people talk to me because they see that, you know, I married outside of my culture, you know. So that's definitely one thing I would say. Don't give up. If that's something that you really, really want, go for it. Have patience and just pray. Tahajjud. I always post about tahajjud. Tahajjud, number one. Like, the prayer, the dua that's made at tahajjud is like an arrow hitting its target. So
Allah,
if you wake up to pray, you know, you're sacrificing your sleep to ask Allah for something that you want.
Allah.
And duas never go unaccepted. Allah is going to accept your dua no matter what. You know, He will give it to you now, or maybe He'll give it to you later, or He will give you something better. So, you know, just don't give up. All right? If you have your mind set on something, like she said, have tawakkul, you know, pray tahajjud, make your duas, and inshallah it's going to happen. Inshallah.
Also, make sure you go to Saudi Arabia, Makkah, in front of the Kaaba, because that's what the brother did.
That's the biggest
thing. Everything fell right into place. Check out the during Ramadan. First time.
Make sure you get that Umrah during Ramadan.
Don't do that. Do it during Ramadan.
Yeah, it's crazy because me and my sister both went. We both came back and got married.
Allah.
Same time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear sister.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers. Until the next episode.
Peace.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
There we go, love.